You're listening to the Holy Bible One Year Challenge with Master Storyteller Michael Wood, featuring the easy-to-read version and used by permission from Bible League International. Enjoy the show!
Hello everyone, welcome to Day 57. We are finishing the Book of Exodus. We see the final touches being made on the Holy Temple, and then Moses goes to check it out and make sure everything is just as the Lord commanded him to do. And then the Lord actually steps in and gives some final instructions for placements of things. The question is, after doing all of this stuff, after building all these curtains and altars made of bronze and gold, will God actually show up? You'll have to stay with us to find out what happens in Exodus chapter 40. We're also continuing in the book of Mark. Jesus takes his closest followers and shows them an amazing supernatural event, a glimpse of heaven. We saw this exact scene play out in Matthew chapter 17. And then it's business as usual as Jesus goes to free a boy from an evil spirit. But what was interesting about this moment is that, if you remember, Jesus' followers were given the power to cast out evil spirits, but they couldn't seem to get the evil spirit out of this boy. And the followers asked Jesus why they couldn't do it. You'll have to stay with us to hear the answer Jesus gives them. If you enjoy the show, visit me at patreon.com/storymaster. You'll find the link in the description box below. By contributing as little as $1 per month, you will enable me to continue this ministry. And you'll get cool rewards too. Together, we're going to get through the Bible in 1 year. Let's get started. Exodus chapter 39. Clothes for the priests. The workers used the blue, purple, and red yarn to make special clothes for the priests to wear when they served in the holy place. They also made the special clothes for Aaron, as the Lord had commanded Moses. The ephod. They made the ephod from gold thread, fine linen and blue, purple and red yarn. They hammered the gold into thin strips and cut the gold into long threads. They wove the gold into the blue, purple and red yarn and fine linen. This was the work of a skilled person. They made the shoulder pieces for the ephod. They tied these shoulder pieces to the two corners of the ephod. They wove the cloth belt and fastened it to the ephod. It was made the same way as the ephod. They used gold thread, fine linen, and blue, purple, and red yarn, just as the Lord commanded Moses. The workers put the onyx stones for the ephod in gold settings. They wrote the names of the sons of Israel on these stones. Then they put these jewels on the shoulder pieces of the ephod. These jewels were to help God to remember the Israelites. This was done as the Lord commanded Moses. The judgment pouch. Then they made the judgment pouch. It was the work of a skilled person, just like the ephod. It was made from gold thread, fine linen, and blue, purple, and red yarn. The judgment pouch was folded double to make a square pocket. It was 22 centimeters long and 22 centimeters wide. Then the workers put four rows of beautiful jewels on the judgment pouch. The first row had a ruby, topaz, and a beryl. The second row had a turquoise, a lapis lazuli, and an emerald. The third row had a jacinth, an agate, and an amethyst. The fourth row had a chrysolite, an onyx, and a jasper. All these jewels were set in gold. There were 12 jewels on the judgment pouch, one jewel for each of the sons of Israel. Each stone had the name of one of the sons of Israel carved onto it, like a seal. The workers made two chains from pure gold for the judgment pouch. The chains were braided like a rope. The workers made two gold rings and fastened them to the two corners of the judgment pouch. Then they made two gold settings for the shoulder pieces. They fastened the gold chains to the rings at the corners of the judgment pouch. They fastened the other ends of the gold chains to the settings on the shoulder pieces. They fastened these to the front of the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the other two corners of the judgment pouch. This was on the inside edge of the judgment pouch, next to the ephod. They also put two gold rings on the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod. These rings were near the fastener, just above the cloth belt. Then they used a blue ribbon and tied the rings of the judgment pouch to the rings of the ephod. In this way, the judgment pouch would rest close to the cloth belt and would be held tight against the ephod. They did everything just as the Lord commanded. Other clothes for the priests. Then they made the robe for the ephod from blue cloth. It was woven by a skilled worker. They made a hole in the center of the robe and sewed a piece of cloth around the edge of this hole. This cloth was like a collar and kept the hole from tearing. Then they used fine linen and blue, purple, and red yarn to make the cloth pomegranates. They hung these pomegranates around the bottom edge of the robe. Then they made bells from pure gold. They hung these bells around the bottom edge of the robe between the pomegranates. Around the bottom edge of the robe, there were bells and pomegranates. There was a bell following each pomegranate. This robe was for the priest to wear when he served the Lord. It was made just as the Lord commanded Moses. Skilled workers made long shirts for Aaron and his sons. These shirts were woven from fine linen, and the workers made a turban from fine linen. They also used fine linen to make special caps and underclothes. Then they made the cloth belt from fine linen and sewed designs into it, using blue, purple, and red yarn. These things were made as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they made a strip of pure gold for the holy crown. They carved these words into the gold, like the writing on a seal, only for the Lord. They fastened the gold strip to a blue ribbon, which they used to fasten the strip to the turban. This was just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspects the holy tent. So all the work on the holy tent, that is, the meeting tent, was finished. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Then they showed the holy tent and everything in it to Moses. They showed him the rings, the frames, the braces, the posts, and the bases. They showed him the covering of the tent that was made from ram skins dyed red, and the covering that was made from fine leather. And they showed him the curtain that covered the entrance to the most holy place. They showed Moses the box of the agreement, the poles used for carrying it, and the cover. They showed him the table with everything on it, and the holy bread. They showed him the pure gold lampstand and the lamps on it, the oil and all the other things that were used with the lamps. They showed Moses the gold altar, the anointing oil, the sweet-smelling incense, and the curtain that covered the entrance to the tent. They showed him the bronze altar, the bronze grating, the poles used for carrying the altar, and all the utensils used at the altar. They showed him the bowl and the base under the bowl. They showed Moses the wall of curtains around the courtyard with the posts and bases. They showed him the curtain that covered the entrance to the courtyard. They showed him the ropes and the tent pegs. They showed him everything in the holy tent, that is, the meeting tent. Then they showed Moses the clothes that were made for the priests serving in the holy place. They showed him the special clothes for Aaron the priest and his sons to wear when they served as priests. The Israelites did all this work exactly as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses looked closely at all the work and saw that it was done exactly as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. Exodus chapter 40. Moses sets up the holy tent. Then the Lord said to Moses,
On the first day of the first month, set up the holy tent, that is, the meeting tent. The box of the agreement in the holy tent, and hang the curtain so that the box is behind it. Then bring in the table. Put the things on the table that should be there. Then put the lampstand in the tent. Put the lamps on the lampstand in the right places. Put the gold altar for offering incense in the tent in front of the box of the agreement. Then put the curtain at the entrance to the holy tent. Put the altar for burnt offerings in front of the entrance of the holy tent, that is, the meeting tent. Put the bowl between the meeting tent and the altar. Put water in the bowl. Set up the wall of curtains around the courtyard. Then put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. Use the anointing oil and anoint the holy tent and everything in it. When you put the oil on these things, you will make them holy. Anoint the altar for burnt offerings. Anoint all the altar's utensils. You will make the altar holy. It will be very holy. Then anoint the bowl and the base under it to make these things holy. Bring Aaron and his sons to the entrance of the meeting tent. Wash them with water. Then put the special clothes on Aaron. Anoint him with the oil and make him holy. Then he could serve me as a priest. Then put the long shirts on his sons. Anoint the sons in the same way you anointed their father. Then they can also serve me as priests. When you anoint them, they will become priests. That family will continue to be priests for all time to come.
Moses obeyed the Lord. He did everything that the Lord commanded him. So the holy tent was set up at the right time. It was the first day of the first month, during the second year from the time they left Egypt. Moses set up the holy tent just as the Lord had said. He put the bases down first, then he put the frames on the bases, then he put the braces on and set up the posts. After that, Moses put the outer tent over the holy tent, then he put the covering over the outer tent. He did these things just as the Lord had commanded. Moses took the two stone tablets with the Ten Commandments of the agreement written on them and put them in the holy box. Put the poles on the box and put the cover on it. Then Moses put the holy box into the holy tent. He hung the curtain in the right place to protect it. In this way, he protected the box of the agreement behind the curtain just as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses put the table in the meeting tent on the north side of the holy tent. He put it in the holy place in front of the curtain. Then he put the bread on the table before the Lord. He did this just as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses put the lampstand in the meeting tent on the south side of the tent across from the table. Then Moses put the lamps on the lampstand before the Lord. He did this just as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses put the gold altar in the meeting tent in front of the curtain. Then he burned sweet-smelling incense on the altar. He did this as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses put the curtain at the entrance to the holy tent. Moses put the altar for burnt offerings at the entrance to the holy tent, that is, the meeting tent. Then Moses offered a burnt offering on that altar. He also offered grain offerings to the Lord. He did these things just as the Lord had commanded him. Then Moses put the bowl between the meeting tent and the altar. He put water in the bowl for washing. Moses, Aaron, and Aaron's sons used this bowl to wash their hands and feet. They washed themselves every time they entered the meeting tent. They also washed themselves every time they went near the altar. They did these things just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then Moses set up the curtains for the courtyard around the holy tent and the altar. Then he put the curtain at the entrance to the courtyard. So he finished all the work. Then the cloud covered the meeting tent, and the glory of the Lord filled the holy tent. Moses could not go into the meeting tent because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord had filled the holy tent. When the cloud rose from the holy tent, the Israelites would begin to tremble. But when the cloud stayed on the holy tent, the people did not try to move. They stayed in that place until the cloud rose. So the cloud of the Lord was over the holy tent during the day, and at night there was a fire in the cloud. This continued to happen wherever they traveled. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 32. Jesus is seen with Moses and Elijah. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and went up on a high mountain. They were all alone there. While these followers watched them, Jesus was changed. His clothes became shining white, whiter than anyone on earth could make them. Then they saw two men there talking with Jesus. They were Elijah and Moses. Peter said to Jesus, "Teacher, it is good that we are here. We will make three shelters here, one to honor you, one to honor Moses, and one to honor Elijah." Peter did not know what to say, because he and the other two followers were so afraid. Then a cloud came and covered them. A voice came from the cloud and said,
"This is my son, and I love him. Do what he says.
The followers looked, but they saw only Jesus there alone with them. As Jesus and the followers were walking back down the mountain, he gave them these instructions. Don't tell anyone about what you saw on the mountain. Wait until after the Son of Man rises from death. Then you can tell people what you saw. So the followers did not talk to anyone else about what they had seen. But they discussed among themselves what Jesus meant about rising from death. They asked him,
Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?
Jesus answered, They are right to say that Elijah must come first. Elijah makes all things the way they should be. But why do the scriptures say that the Son of Man will suffer much, and that people will think he is worth nothing? I tell you that Elijah has already come, and the people did to him all the bad things they wanted to do. The scripture said this would happen to him. Jesus frees a boy from an evil spirit. When Jesus, Peter, James, and John went back to the other followers, they saw many people around them. The teachers of the law were arguing with the followers. When the people saw Jesus, they were very surprised and ran to welcome him. And Jesus asked, What are you arguing about with the teachers of the law? A man answered,
Teacher, I brought my son to you. He is controlled by an evil spirit that keeps him from talking. When the spirit attacks him, it throws him on the ground. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and becomes very stiff. I asked your followers to force the evil spirit out, but they could not.
Jesus answered, You people today don't believe. How long must I stay with you? How long must I be patient with you? Bring the boy to me. So the followers brought the boy to Jesus. When the evil spirit saw Jesus, it attacked the boy. The boy fell down and rolled on the ground. He was foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, How long has this been happening to him? The father answered,
Since he was very young, the spirit often throws him into a fire or into water to kill him. If you could do anything, please have pity on us and help us.
Jesus said to the father, Why did you say, if you can? All things are possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father shouted,
I do believe. Help me to believe more.
When Jesus saw that all the people were running there to see what was happening, he spoke to the evil spirit. He said, You evil spirit that makes this boy deaf and stops him from talking, I command you to come out of him and never enter him again. The evil spirit screamed. It caused the boy to fall on the ground again, and then it came out. The boy looked as if he was dead. Many people said,
He is dead.
But Jesus took hold of his hand and helped him stand up. Later, Jesus went into the house, and his followers were alone with him. They asked him,
Why weren't we able to force that evil spirit out?
Jesus answered, That kind of spirit can be forced out only with prayer. Then Jesus and his followers left there and went through Galilee. Jesus did not want the people to know where they were. He wanted to teach his followers alone. He said to them, The Son of Man will be handed over to the control of other men, and they will kill him. But 3 days later, he will rise from death. The followers did not understand what he meant. They were afraid to ask him. Psalm chapter 26, a song of David. Lord, look closely at me and test me. Judge my deepest thoughts and emotions. Let everyone know I am innocent, Lord. because I do what is right. I have never stopped trusting in you. I always remember your faithful love. Your faithfulness guides my life. I don't run around with troublemakers. I have nothing to do with hypocrites. I hate being around evil people. I refuse to join those gangs of crooks. Lord, I wash my hands to show that I am innocent, so that I can circle your altar and worship. I sing a song to give your thanks, and I tell about all the wonderful things you have done. Lord, I love the house where you live, the place where your glory is. Lord, don't treat me like one of those sinners. Don't kill me with those murderers. They are guilty of cheating people. They take bribes to do wrong. But I do what is right. So be kind to me and save me. I am safe from all danger. I will praise you, Lord, when all your people come together. Thank you, everyone. That was day 57. Join us for day 58. We begin the book of Leviticus, and I'll be giving a detailed introduction to the book. And in the book of Mark, Jesus talks about sin, other followers of Jesus outside his group, and then he gives an important lesson on divorce. We hope you enjoyed today's verses. Be sure to leave us a positive review and to share this podcast with your friends and family. Please join us for the next episode as we experience the Bible in 1 year.
Did you know we offer online courses in creative writing, literature, and web design? Visit us at storymaster.online to learn more.